So good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here presenting. I'd like to acknowledge my the team that worked on this project. Dr. Pam Exuberius is in the audience today. And Kendra Kopanis is the executive director of our Maternal Child and Family Health Coalition, which was our community partner. And Christine Filinow was staff at the coalition during the bulk of this project. I'd like to begin by saying that we were funded for this work by a local and a national source, by the St. Louis Regional Health Commission, which is a local funding source, which we had a great experiment specifically to form community academic partnerships for research, and from the Centers for Disease Control. I want to acknowledge that I have no financial relationships with commercial interests that are relevant to this presentation. And I want to start with a definition of preconception care. And here you see one that was developed by Johnson et al. That is commonly accepted. It's a set of interventions that aim to identify risk to a woman's health or pregnancy outcome through prevention and management. And in 2007, Liu recommended every woman of reproductive age who is capable of becoming pregnant is a candidate for preconception care, even if she's not planning to conceive. I want to take a minute to show you a couple of slides that show you why this is an important issue to us in St. Louis. On this slide, you see that we have significant racial disparities in infant mortality, low birth weight, preterm birth. The green bars are rates for African American women in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. The red bars are rates for white women. And the blue bars are the Healthy People 2010 targets because the data was collected during that period. And you can see what drives the high rates in our community is really the disparity for African Americans. We also conducted a perinatal periods of risk analysis, in the community, and we did that for 2000-2009 data. Showed that the access fetal and infant mortality in our community was greatest for very low birth weight infants. Very low birth weight related deaths can best be prevented by addressing maternal health issues and preventing prematurity. And this analysis allowed us to look at how we would fare in a community with our similar demographics. And you can see that the estimation is that 364 babies would have survived in other communities. So that blue area points us directly toward preconception health and the health of our mothers prior to pregnancy. So this led us directly to our research questions. I'm going to have to get better about leaving this display alone. We asked, how well are we addressing women's health prior to and in between pregnancies? And we asked, are women in our community aware that their health prior to pregnancy affects their outcomes? So in order to address this, we developed this academic and community partnership. And the purpose of the partnership was to create research with community context. Both of the partners bring essential skills to bear on this complex issue in a community. The coalition acts as the convener for the issue and functioned as an honest broker between community groups and academic partners. They also create a seamless bridge in our community for this unique issue in that St. Louis City and St. Louis County are contiguous but separate jurisdictions. We do not have a city within a county. We have a separate city and a county. They served as a guide in developing research questions so that the questions accurately reflected the need in the community. And lastly, they helped to give context and depth to the findings and make the results actually actionable in our community. As researchers, we developed and guided the process to give it integrity, assure that the process was valid and reliable. And then we helped the community to align the findings with the community context. Now, the results that I'm reporting today are really a story within a story. In order to address those broad questions, we had a project that enveloped four components. First, a need identification through secondary data analysis and perinatal periods of risk. You saw a little bit of that data to set up the what I'm going to show you next. And then we wanted to assess uptake and implementation of preconception health through surveys and interviews. And then we wanted to really understand context and health priorities of women through focus groups. And then understanding barriers and facilitators for preconception care access for low-income women through a policy analysis. And in this presentation, I'm going to focus on this part, which is the surveys and the interviews. This slide, you can see the survey distribution, the samples, the response rates for our data collection. We collected data from four segments in the community: primary care providers of women's health, community agencies serving women and children, women of childbearing age, and health department personnel. We developed and distributed surveys for the providers, the agencies, and the women, and we developed structured interviews for health department personnel. This slide shows the samples and response rates, as well as giving an overall overview of each data collection tool. And so the column on the far right, you can see the response rates and the final ends. In this slide, you see our methods of analysis. We did prevalence estimates for the three surveys, and then we also conducted a chi-square analysis to explore differences in response by race in the surveys of women. Data from the interviews were reviewed for themes. The structured interviews were transcribed, reviews for themes, and then validated with a sample of the interviewees. So the following slides contain the results of the provider survey. In our assessment, we asked how providers define preconception care, and we did give them definitions. 58% of our sample described preconception care as specialty care, something done outside the routine well woman exam. This is in direct contradiction to the recommendation of every woman of childbearing age being a candidate for this care. We then asked how frequently they conduct preconception assessments on these groups of women. And in red here, you see only 75% routinely conduct assessments on women who are sexually active and not using birth control. When asked who should be included in preconception care, only 50% of our providers indicated that adolescents should be included. We asked questions about health equity for providers. Here, 62% indicate that being born a minority brings challenges that white people do not face. 57% agree that institutional barriers affect minority use of services, and 57% agree that providers frequently impose their own cultural values on minority clients. Now, we asked similar questions of our community agencies. And when we asked, what we found is that only 26% of the agencies dealing with women and children in our community specifically identified preconception care as part of their mission. Only 25% of agencies offered education classes or group sessions on preconception care, and only 11% of those responding positively to that question indicated that they provided information on reproductive life plannings, how many, when, and how often women would choose to have children. Less than 25% of agencies used materials specifically related to preconception care. We also asked the agencies the identical health equity questions. And 81% indicated that being born a minority brings challenges that white people do not face. 82% agreed that institutional barriers affect minority use of services. And 63% agreed that service providers frequently impose their own values on minority clients. In the women's surveys, we asked if they had ever heard the term preconception care, and 52% of our sample had not. However, 76% of the women that we surveyed had seen a doctor within the past 12 months for a routine checkup. When we defined preconception care on the survey and asked women where they would like to learn about preconception care, 89% of our sample said they wanted to get that information from their healthcare provider. We also asked health equity questions of women. And here, 10% of African American women and 16% of white women agreed with the statement that people of their racial group receive the same medical care from their doctors and healthcare workers as people of other groups. 4% of African American women responding agreed with the statement that they had been treated unfairly by doctors or healthcare workers because of their race. In the structured interviews with health department personnel, several prominent themes emerged. Now, the interviews were constructed around a core functions of public health framework. So in the content area of assessment, surveillance emerged as significant. Health departments do not collect data on many of the risk assessment parameters of preconception care. Accessibility of data, surveillance data, varies. And many times data is housed in different departments of the agencies. So if you're a community person, where do you go and how do you access the data? In the area of policy development, respondents indicated that primary prevention efforts compete with more immediate concerns like overwhelming rates of chronic disease, high rates of sexually transmitted infections. Low-income women do not have full coverage unless pregnant, which means that they're unable to obtain preconception services that are recommended by the Institutes of Medicine and the Centers for Disease Control. Title V and Title X funding is under continual threat of budget cuts. And in the content area of assurance and practice, one significant theme emerged, and that is while preconception care is linked to many initiatives within health departments, things like tobacco cessation, obesity prevention, sexually transmitted diseases, and health equity, it is not a standalone priority. So, after synthesizing our findings, we came to the following overarching conclusions. Uptake of preconception care concepts is low in all groups surveyed, and it is not a standalone priority for local health departments. All groups acknowledge the presence of structural and institutional health equity issues. Surveillance data is not available for many preconception risk assessment parameters. And continuous threat of budget cuts has a chilling effect on improving access for low-income women and building additional infrastructure such as improved surveillance. This study has several really important strengths and some minor limitations. The strengths include that it's very comprehensive, that we solicited data from all sectors of the community that were affected by the issue. It was community-driven, and the process was guided by researchers to assure integrity. However, the data collected is regional, so it limits some of the generalizability of the findings, and some of our samples were convenient samples. This data was looked at by our community, and here on the slide you see the actions that the community has selected to move forward with. First, improving provider practice of routine preconception care screening through collaboration with medical and nursing schools and certifying organizations. We're not a timid group. Facilitating preconception collaboration among assisting community agencies and programs to reduce duplication and fill gaps in services. Undertaking a social marketing campaign to educate women on preconception care. Seeking expanded insurance coverage for low-income women outside prenatal care. Developing a regional protocol for conducting health impact assessments for state or local policies and projects that is inclusive of health equity. And finally, improving surveillance efforts. In closing, I'd like to really thank the Maternal Child and Family Health Coalition in our community for being willing to spearhead and work toward collaboration with us on this partnership, and specifically the Partnership of for Preconception Health, which is the subcommittee of the coalition that did the lion's share of the work. And if you'd like to follow our progress, the Maternal Child and Family Health Coalition website is here, or you can just Google Maternal Child and Family Health Coalition St. Louis. Questions? I'm very efficient. I thought I was going to be very tight. Yes.
The health equity scale, was that a scale from the literature, or was that what you developed for your...
You know, none of the surveys, at the time that we were doing this, there was nothing out there, and we got a windfall. We had a master's in public health student from Stanford University who called us, cold call. "I'm going to be in St. Louis for the summer. Can I do an internship?" Right. "Come in," said the spider to the fly. And so we were able to develop all of our scales. We took all the existing guidelines from CDC and ASTDR and the clinical recommendations from the CDC, and we put them together. We asked several national leaders if they would review them, and they did. They were very gracious with their time. We have a person in our community who is quite expert on health equity issues, and she helped us to develop these questions. And then Pam and I shamelessly went at the Maternal and Child Health Epidemiology Conference, went to, I am having a middle-aged moment. Mary Kay, health equity. Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. But anyway, we asked her, that's okay, but we asked her to validate those questions for us. Yes. About 50% of our providers agreed that, well, 49% actually agreed that that adolescents should be included in preconception care.
Okay. Then my question is, what we've seen in our data with our low-income adolescents as far as participating in well-child exams or child disease checkup outreach, that group does not go in for preventive health care.
So the question is, I have to repeat this because it's recorded. So the question is that has there been any thought given to how to more effectively engage adolescents, because this is a group that traditionally does not come in for routine care? And the answer to that is, as we begin to engage with providers, these are some of the questions that we want to move forward in working with. So we're at the beginning part of moving forward on those actionable recommendations, and it is certainly in the mix. And there's a lot of work to be done. This is very rich data for us to begin to flesh out some of those issues. So the short answer is no, but it's not because we haven't thought about it. It's because we're not quite there on the action step yet.